Welcome to the Scout Sunday Podcast, your weekly source for scouting news, viewpoints, training ideas, and a variety of other topics. I'll be your host, Kyle Peters. I'm an Eagle Scout, Scoutmaster, Council Chaplain, and generally enthusiastic scouter. Join me and some of my friends occasionally in conversations that lead us down the trail to Eagle and beyond. Scouter Kyle, welcome back. We're going to do something we did last episode. We're going to go over some scout ranks, but it was brought to my attention that in the last episode, episode 3, things weren't exactly clear as to who it was that I was talking to. So let me be kind of clear about this right from the start. If you're listening to this, I'm talking to you, all right? I'm talking to you if you are a new scout. I'm talking to you if you're an experienced scout who is helping out younger scouts, perhaps, or just trying to brush yourself up on the ranks and how scouting works and those sorts of things. I'm talking to you if you've been a scoutmaster for the last 35 years. I'm talking to you if you're a brand new scoutmaster and you've never been involved in scouting before. This is for you. So this is kind of for everybody, but that's not probably clear enough. So I will tell you that my primary audience right now is you scouts. You scouts who are under the age of 18 and are working the ranks. This is for you, so that I can help you, so that I can kind of be your virtual scout master in between, in the days in between scout meetings, to help you get rank advancement, to help you understand what you're doing. The rest of you, please listen through, and maybe I can help you too. So, last time we did scout rank requirements 1A through 1F. Today, we're going to do scout rank requirements 2A through D. And these are awesome in that they really, really help get to know how the ranks work and what they are. There's a lot of confusion when folks start as to whether they're talking about ranks or office and who's in charge of what and who does what and what they need to be working. Oh, and merit badges. Let's not forget merit badges. And it gets confusing if you don't know about it. It gets really confusing trying to keep track. So hopefully today we can dispel a few misunderstandings and myths and whatnot, and we can get further down our trail to becoming the leaders of tomorrow. All right, so we do something fun here. We start out with number 2. And number 2 doesn't have any rank requirement to it. It's like an introduction to the other parts, to 2A through 2D. So number 2 says, after attending at least one scout troop meeting, do the following. All right, so you've gone to your first meeting, which is probably where you get your handbook. I mean, maybe not. Some troops do that. Some troops don't. And so maybe you've just gotten signed up. You've been to your first meeting. You're like, oh, that was fun. And it was awesome. And I noticed all these guys and girls had patches on their left shirt pocket. And it really seemed like some of them were fancier than others. And it seemed like the ones that were fancier knew stuff that the other ones didn't. Maybe they were in charge. Maybe they were making the meetings. And so you'd like to get started on that too, because your pocket looks pretty bare right now because you don't even have the scout rank. So, after attending at least one scout troop meeting, do the following. 2A, describe how the scouts in the troop provide its leadership. Describe how the scouts in the troop provide the troop's leadership. Now that sounds weird, especially if you came from Cub Scouts. If you came from Cub Scouts, you're used to the adults providing the leadership. Not in Scouts. That's not how it works. In Scouts, the Scouts themselves, in Scouts BSA. Okay, when I was a Scout, way back in the 1900s, there was just Boy Scouts of America. And we didn't have girls. And girls had Girl Scouts, and boys had Boy Scouts, and Boy Scouts had Cub Scouts underneath them, as far as age is concerned. And so you were either in Cub Scouts, or you were in Scouts or Boy Scouts. Well, now we've changed a little bit, and we've got girls involved, and we've changed the name from Boy Scouts of America to Scouting America, to reflect that we have girls involved in our program as well. And that is awesome. Okay, that is a great thing. It is a challenge for us young men, and not so young men in some of our cases, to be gentlemen. And it is a challenge for the young ladies to learn skills that will keep them alive, to learn how to be the leaders of tomorrow, and to be just awesome, awesome contributors to society. And that's the same for our young men too. So it is a wonderful thing in my mind, in my view of things, that the young ladies can benefit from the amazing program that the young men could only, it was only the young men that could benefit from in the past. But that's a rabbit hole that we don't need to go any deeper down. But so in scouting, that's why I was getting there, was to explain the name and how I refer to this. In scouting, the scouts are in charge. The scouts lead the meeting. The scouts are the ones who make the decisions. The adults are there to advise and to ensure that things go as well as they can. And if it's done right, and let me tell you what, from an adult perspective, doing it right is really, really hard. Because we want things to go perfect. And we know how to do a lot of these things. And so we want to jump in and we want to help. And sometimes we want to do more than help. Sometimes we want to just do it for you because we know that it'll get done better, faster, cheaper, easier, etc., etc. But that's not how us adults should be doing it. We should be sitting in the back during the meeting, talking to ourselves and helping work out some logistics on things. And you, scouts, should be up in front, leading, making the meeting happen. So that is how scouts should be providing leadership to the troop. Now let's look up on page 42. You got your handbook out, right? Go on, go grab it, hurry up. All right, good. You could have hit pause in there too if you needed to. So on page 42 through 44, now let me turn in my book here. It says, some of your fellow scouts wear leadership patches on the sleeves of their uniform shirts. Your patrol leader wears one with two green bars. That's pretty cool. Why? What's that mean? Well, just happens to be, and they don't mention this here, that the assistant patrol leader wears a patch with one green bar. So the assistant has one bar, the patrol leader has two bars, and the senior patrol leader has three bars. The assistant senior patrol leader, if you have one, has three bars as well, but the bottom one's just a little shorter. So that's how we can tell from kind of a, from afar what position someone has. Something you'll also notice is when you look at the senior patrol leader and the assistant senior patrol leader patches, the senior patrol leader has the outline of a first-class emblem. And I only say outline because it doesn't have the eagle on it and it doesn't have the be prepared, the scout motto on the scroll. And it has that in silver thread, but the assistant senior patrol leader has it in gold. And in scouting, much like the military, silver is higher than gold. So if you look at the scoutmaster patch and the assistant scoutmaster patch, some of the old ones especially, they're easier to differentiate. They'll have silver for the scoutmaster and gold for the assistant scoutmaster, those sorts of things. There's a fella that you should do some research on. All right, get your pen and paper out too. Write this down. This is a note-taking time, so you can look it up later after we have our conversation today. And that's a fella named Green Bar Bill. Now, his name was Bill. William was his real first name. Bill's his nickname. Bill Hillcourt. William Hillcourt. And Green Bar Bill always signed his name Bill. And he had carried a highlighter with him, too. He carried an ink pen and a highlighter. And he'd put two green bars through his name, through Bill, with that highlighter. He was Green Bar Bill. He was putting the patrol leader symbol every time he signed his name. Because he was such a believer in what we call the patrol method. And the patrol method isn't just a good idea. It's not just a way to lead a troop. It's the only way to run a troop. And that means that you divide your scouts up into groups of maybe 4 up to 8 scouts per group. And those groups are called patrols. And each one of those patrols has a patrol leader. And over those patrol leaders, you have one senior patrol leader. And that senior patrol leader leads what we call the PLC, the Patrol Leaders Council. And that's maybe once a month or once every 3 months or so. All the patrol leaders in your troop, and maybe their assistants, and the senior patrol leader and his assistant, and a couple other positions like maybe the scribe. Scribe would be an important person to have at a meeting like this. And maybe the historian. Yeah, maybe. Maybe the librarian. Depends. Those people show up to the Patrol Leaders Council. And that's not run by the scoutmaster. That's run by the senior patrol leader. And that's where they plan all the upcoming meetings. All right. So then when they get to those following meetings, that's where they execute on the plans that they made at the PLC. All right. Now, we turn the page. And there's some good stuff in here. It kind of strays a little bit, but I want to point out something here. It does talk about good judgment in choosing friends. Be open to those who are not like everyone else you know. Does that mean you have to like somebody just because they're different? No. Does it mean you should maybe see, maybe be open to the possibility that somebody who's a little different might still be able to be your friend? Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Some of the things I appreciate the most about some of my best friends is that they're not just like me. They bring character to our conversations. They bring new ideas. They bring new perspectives. And I like that. And it says here, differences can be doorways for you to expand your understanding of other people, but look beyond what seems to separate you. I think that's a good idea. That's in the leadership section. You know, it is what it is. Let's see, what were we doing? Describe how scouts and the troop provide their leadership. I think we've covered a lot of that, but we also touched on some other things here that we're going to come back to as we move along here. But that was the offices. So the office is going to be represented by a 3-inch circular patch that goes on the left sleeve below the troop numbers. And again, you're going to see the patrol leader, the senior patrol leader. You're going to see some cool other ones, though. On that page there, on page 43, you'll see, and there's better descriptions in the back of the book, too. You're going to see the quartermaster. The quartermaster is in charge of the gear. Some troops are big enough that each patrol has a quartermaster. And then the troop has a quartermaster too. That's a lot of scouts in one troop. My troop's really small. We have one quartermaster, and he doesn't have a lot to do yet because we don't have a lot of gear yet. You have den chiefs. I think the den chief is potentially the most important position in the troop. And you may say, but they're not the senior patrol leader, and they're not the one in charge. They're not even a patrol leader. They have no responsibility in the troop. How is that so important? Well, because their responsibility is not in the troop. It's in a Cub Scout pack. Their responsibility is to join up with a Cub Scout pack and be like an assistant den leader in one of the dens. So maybe like the ideal place might be in a Weeblow's den or an Arrow of Light den. To be an older scout, scouts are by nature older, by their definition. And so to be that older, wiser, more experienced scout that comes in and acts like an assistant den leader. Remember, the den leader in a Cub Scout pack is an adult. So they help out. And when it's time to learn knots and such, they say, hey, I already know all these because I've been working through my ranks and I've been practicing my scout skills. And so they can help with those things. Or they say, well, what do you need on hikes for gear? And that den chief says, boy, I remember this hike we went on, and it started raining, and that's when I realized I forgot my raincoat. But I had a poncho with me, or I found a trash bag, or something like that. And so it was things like that that they can add to the flavor of things and act as a mentor to those younger scouts, those Cub Scouts, and to act as a role model. And that helps recruit new Cub Scouts that come up, well, Cub Scouts that come up to become new scouts. And then they start working through these ranks that we're talking about right here, right now. That's pretty cool. That is an awesome responsibility. Another one is the troop guide. The troop guide should be a senior scout who knows his stuff, his or her stuff, and they help to guide new scouts into. They kind of have like the level of a patrol leader, but their responsibility is to help guide new scouts. And so if you've got new scouts, you should have a troop guide that's their responsibility to help out. The bugler. The bugler is awesome. It's hard to find troops with buglers these days. Used to be more popular. I'd like to see it come back. Obviously, they have a bugle. They bugle calls and like reveille and play taps at night. And maybe they have some other calls too, and I think that's awesome. Let's see, what else do we have here? The chaplain aide. Chaplain aide is actually a super important position within the unit, within the troop. And it gets overlooked. But let me tell you something. There's a little known fact that there is a policy that when you take scouts, when scouts go camping over a religious observance day, a day of religious observance, for a lot of us, that's Sundays. For some of us, that's Friday or Saturday, perhaps. And so if we go camping, when do we go camping? We usually go from Friday to Sunday. So that covers all the major religions right there, right? And so if you take someone away to go on a camp out from their normal day of religious observance, you have to provide something. And this can look like a lot of different things. If you've got a mixed troop, or you know, you're at an event with a mixed group of people, you might want to do what's called a scout zone, and that would be led by the chaplain aide. They would come up with a service, and they would involve other scouts as well, hopefully. And it can be whatever they want. The chaplain aide could also help the troop or camp or wherever they're at, chaplain, to produce either an interfaith service that can accommodate all faiths and fit within the Declaration of Religious Principles that Scouting has, or if there's enough people of one faith and they want to just have a service for them, then the chaplain aide would help the chaplain for that, or maybe conduct it. I don't know. Either way. So there's a lot of cool positions. I encourage you to read about them in your handbook. You know what? I didn't prep this. Let me look here real quick. I know on page 43, we have a lot of those positions, but I recall that in the back, there's another list. And I'm also being reminded of something else as I look through the handbook here real quick that I want to talk about. And am I not going to find it? Of course I won't. Why? Because I didn't prepare. Oh, I did. Page 424. And I'm guessing page 423. Once I turn the page. Yep, there we go. So it actually starts on page 422. And it tells you about each of these positions and more of the positions. It doesn't just show you the patch and tell you the name. It gives you a description. So read up and you know, ask your senior patrol leader, ask your scoutmaster if you can take on one of these positions. And if it's filled up, then do it later, right? Do it again later. You're like, I want to be the senior patrol leader. Well, there's already a senior patrol leader, and he's a life scout. And the assistant senior patrol leader, she's a star scout. And here you are, you're just working on your scout rank. So, oh darn, that's okay. Good. Learn from them. Watch what they do. Learn what works. Learn what is good and what you like and what you don't like about what they're doing. And then you can be better. All right. Especially when you get some more skill under your belt. So look over those. I also noticed here on page 429, I was reminded of the DIN Chief Service Award. So cool things about being the DIN Chief in your troop for your pack, for a nearby pack, is that you get cords to wear on your left shoulder that go under the epaulette, and around your shoulder, like under your arm. And they're different colors. There's a gold, blue, and red if you're a Weeblos DIN Chief. I would assume now that that also covers Arrow of Light. And then there's a blue and gold if you're any level below Weeblo. But if you do that job for a year, okay, and you take DIN Chief training and a couple other little things, you can get a red, white, and blue cord that you can continue to wear until you become an adult, as long as you're a scout. You know, you don't have to continue being the DIN Chief after you earn it if maybe you need to move on to another position, and you can still wear those cords. So that's super duper awesome. Unfortunately, right now, there's no official recognition after you turn 18 for having earned that. But who knows? That might change someday. Let's move on. Let's look at the four steps of scout advancement. So we've been talking about advancement, right? We've been talking about earning rank. Cool thing, 413. Let's turn to 413 for requirement 2B, or not to be. No, it is to be. That is the question, isn't it? And there we go. I've got my tab. I'm looking at it right here. So this is cool, too. They've got a list of all of the ranks, and they tell you about them. Read that on your own. But when we look over here, we see the four steps of scout advancement. All right. Those four steps are that you learn, and it's actually listed on page 416, that you learn, you are tested, you are reviewed, and you are recognized. Now, this isn't just for rank. This is for everything you do. This is for merit badges. This is for your religious emblems program. This is for so many things. You learn. You're at a troop meeting or on outings, and you learn and practice skills that are required for merit, for advancement, for merit badges, those sorts of things. Now, merit badges, we're usually going to be working with a merit badge counselor, and that may be somebody in your troop, but it may not. All right. Then you're tested. Okay. Once you say, I got it, I know what I need to know for this rank or this merit badge, then your leader or your merit badge counselor test you. And they say, yep, you got it, or I'm going to put in a little more work there. All right. So these are great times. Generally, this is not going to be your parent unless your parent is also a troop leader or merit badge counselor. All right. Now, you're saying to yourself, but my parents, or maybe you are a parent, listen up here still too. You're saying, my parents, they're not involved in scouts. Well, encourage them. Because see, officially, by the rules, they shouldn't be going on campouts either. Well, your parents should be going on campouts with you because they should be assistant scoutmasters or troop committee members. All right. Get them involved. Tell them how much you want them to be involved. All right. Because you do. You may not realize it yet, but you want them involved. And hopefully they can better understand the program and they can better understand what you're doing and help you along. And you can hopefully have a lot of fun. Because let me tell you something, there's nothing better than having fun with your parents. All right, you are reviewed. When you have completed all the requirements for a rank, except Scout and Eagle Scout. So we're talking about Scout right now. This one does not have a Board of Review. And Eagle has a different kind of Board of Review. But all the ones in between, from Tenderfoot to Life, have a Board of Review with the Troop Committee. What's that mean? Okay, the board just makes sure that you've done what you need to do, and then they talk with you about your experience. Okay, they're trying to figure out if you're getting the things that you need, and if the troop is running well, and if the program is up to spec. And they're trying to take care of you, and they want to make sure that you're having the best experience possible. So that's what they do. And then you are recognized, and it says right here, as soon as possible, you are recognized for your achievement at a troop meeting where you will receive your badge. Okay? Then it says you'll later be recognized again at a special ceremony called a court of honor. So let me tell you how this often works. Let's say you get a merit badge done, or let's say you get the rank of scout done. Okay, because that's what we're talking about. When you get the rank of scout done, then you should get a scout badge. And you should be able to take that home and sew it on your left pocket, below the flap, centered, up and down and side to side, onto your pocket. All right? You should be able to do that the first night that you get it, that you earn it. Like right after your board review, right after your board review, you walk out and the board says, yep, you passed, and your scoutmaster says, good job. Here's your new patch. Okay, and so now you have it, and then a couple months later, we might have what's called a court of honor. And a court of honor is like kind of a party, but it's a solemn party. It's an official party, followed by maybe some happiness, some joy. It's all happy, don't get me wrong. But maybe things loosen up and maybe they have some snacks or something. And at that court of honor, you've already gotten your patch. So maybe they have the card that says that you completed that rank or that merit badge. And they call you up and say, hey, Sally got this done and this done and this done and this done and this done since our last court of honor. And they say it right in front of all your parents. And, you know, everybody else's parents and maybe aunts or uncles or something and friends. And it's the time to be honored for your accomplishments. And that is awesome. And so you get it immediately, but you get it later in front of others in a more public setting. So the four things, the four steps to advancement are that you learn, you are tested, you are reviewed, and you are recognized as soon as possible. All right, that is great stuff there. Let's look to the next one. And that was on pages 413 to 417, by the way. Describe what the Scouts BSA ranks are and how they are earned. And that's in two different sections, page 27 and page 413 through 417. So I'm going to kind of put my finger in 415 and look up here to page 27, way up in the front of the book. And goodness, that is way up there. Seems like we could have done this a little neater, maybe. All right, here we go. So the ranks, we're talking about Scout right now. This is the very first one. And then you get Tenderfoot, then Second Class, then First Class. And then you get Star, Life, and Eagle. And those are the ranks. Now ranks are basic information you need to know to be a good Scout. All right. This is your personal advancement, your personal achievements. And you're going to learn things like first aid and fitness and aquatics and citizenship. You're going to kind of touch on all of these things. And to get to first class, some people get first class maybe in their first year. That's doable. It's very doable. If you work hard, it's doable. Most people get it within the first year and a half or so. And then the other ones, Star, Life, and Eagle, they have some built-in roadblocks. All right, they've got requirements that say that while a first-class scout, spend 4 months providing leadership to your troop. Spend 6 months providing leadership to your troop while a Star Scout. So you have to wait for a certain amount of time after getting first class, Star Life, Star or Life, before you can get Star, Life, or Eagle. All right. So those ranks, those last three, Star, Life, and Eagle, focus on participation and community service and leadership and merit badges. And merit badges are your chance to learn about careers and hobbies and skills. And some of those merit badges are required of you to get rank advancement. Some of them are electives or optional. So maybe you don't want to take metalwork. Maybe you want to take leatherwork instead. Well, then take leatherwork. That's cool. But you're still going to have to take citizenship in the nation, citizenship in the community, and citizenship in the world, because those are required. So at some point, you're going to have to get those done. Cycling merit badge is not Eagle required. Or fingerprinting merit badge. Everybody seems to get fingerprinting. Not required. So that was the first part. And then we're going to look over it of 2C. Now we're going to look over to page 413 and see that it gets more into the ranks, kind of saying what we just said. All right. You are going to need a Scoutmaster conference for all these ranks. You're going to need a board of review from your troop committee for Tenderfoot, Second Class, First Class, Star, and Life. For Eagle, you will have a different board of review, a different group, typically. Something interesting I found it says here, by the time you become a first-class scout, you should be ready for anything scouting can throw at you. By the time you become an Eagle Scout, you should be ready for anything life can throw at you. That is pretty powerful, if you ask me. All right, and Scout Rank 2D. 2D, describe what merit badges are and how they are earned, pages 418 through 20. 420. So, I just told you, merit badges are going to focus on skills, hobbies, jobs, career-oriented things. And there's a lot of them. I did not count them up before getting here, but there's a lot of them. There's well over 100. Okay. So the steps to earning a merit badge are to pick a subject. Look through the list, see what sounds cool to you. You're going to notice, if you see the pictures of them, some of them have a green border. Most of them have a green border. Those are optional. You can do those or not. The ones with silver borders are required. At some point in time, you're going to have to get those. There's a couple that are a little tricky, just a little bit. And you will notice that when you look at some of the requirements, they show that you can get a merit badge or another merit badge, or another merit badge maybe. So you can earn environmental science or sustainability to meet your Eagle requirement. You can earn swimming or hiking or cycling to complete that Eagle requirement. All right, so that's kind of cool that you have some options, and maybe you can't hike. Maybe you've got problems with your feet that don't allow you to hike. Well, can you ride a bicycle? Because the pressure on your feet is different than it is when you hike. So maybe that works better. Or maybe you've got hip pain from walking, and so swimming might be better for you. Now, I'm going to make a recommendation to you that if you can, you just get all of them. That you get swimming and hiking and cycling. And you get environmental science and sustainability. Maybe you can do that. Maybe not. And that's okay. It's all right. But that's what you have to do, is you have to get one or the other of those. And then there's some others too. So the ones with silver borders, for the most part, are Eagle required. The green borders are electives, and you have to have a certain number of those, but we're not picky as to which ones. And there's a lot more of them, some really cool ones now that didn't exist when I was a scout, so you guys are in luck that there's such cool stuff. So again, we're going to start out by picking a subject. Then you're going to contact a merit badge counselor for that. Your scoutmaster should be able to help you find a list of merit badge counselors for the merit badge you want and help you get signed off. You're going to show your stuff. What's that mean? Well, it says in the book, so I'm going to read from the book to you. Once you are ready, call the counselor to make an appointment. When you go, take along the things you have made to meet the requirements. If they are too big to move, take pictures or have an adult tell in writing what you have done. The counselor will test you. That sounds familiar. On each requirement to make sure you know your stuff and have done or can do the things required. So they're going to give you jobs and you're going to go do them. And you're going to come back. One of the cool things is that scouting gives you all the answers in the form of a merit badge booklet or pamphlet. These days, those are all accessed by way of the internet. So let's say you want to do a cybersecurity merit badge. It's a new one. So you can just type into your old Google box, say, cybersecurity merit badge requirements. And it's going to pop up a scouting file that takes you to a page on that that lets you see all the requirements and see the pamphlet as a form of a PDF, a portable document file that you can print out if you want. Or you can just read it on the computer. I like to print them out. And that's the booklet. That's the textbook. That's where all the answers are. So you read the requirements, then read the book, and then maybe check the requirements and find all the answers, right? So that's how you show your stuff to your counselor. Then you are recognized. Your counselor, when satisfied that you have met each requirement, will sign your application. We often call those blue cards because traditionally they're cards that are blue. We're real creative. So they'll sign your application, give the signed application to your scoutmaster so that you can be awarded the badge. Hopefully they have the badge or they'll get it soon, and they give it to you and they keep the little card and give that to you at the next Court of Honor. Used to be that merit badge pamphlets were printed and sold in the scout office. That doesn't seem to be the case so much. So you might see them around, and be careful because they may be expired. Once you get to Eagle, there's a little side note here. Once you get to Eagle and you've earned your 21 merit badges, some of them required, some of them optional, then if you go above and beyond and you've had your board review and whatnot, and then you go above and beyond and earn even more merit badges, you can get what are called palms. And palms, you earn a bronze, and then if you go above and beyond for another 10, okay, is that how this works? Let's see, I think it's 5. So yeah, if you get 5 more than you need, you get a bronze palm. If you get 10 more than you needed, so another 5, you get gold. And if you get 15 more, so that means an additional 5 yet, again, over gold, then you get a silver palm. And you can actually get more than one of each one every 5 merit badges you earn. And that is pretty cool. But again, that's optional. That's just you going above and beyond. That's not earning Eagle. And it doesn't make one Eagle Scout better than the other. All right. So we have learned tonight, today, about how the Scouts and the troop provide leadership to the troop, the 4 steps of Scout advancement, and what the Scouts BSA ranks are and how they are earned. And then we talked about merit badges and what they are and how they are earned. So little tidbits here. I'm going to go over a couple quick things here. Palms, if you get Eagle palms, they actually go on the medal, typically the ribbon of your Eagle medal. And we don't typically wear our medals except for special circumstances or ceremonies or whatnot. Merit badges. So merit badges are hard to keep track of. My suggestion is get a merit badge sash and sew them on there. A lot of people use badge magic, and this is one of those times when that may be okay. I will ask you, don't use badge magic, and it's kind of a glue, on your uniform. Just sew them on. Baste the patch on there, look that up, baste stitch it on, and then sew it down, and then cut out your base stitching. But learn to sew. Sewing is a merit badge now. So you can not only get the patches on your uniform that you need, you can maybe get started on earning a merit badge as you're doing that. Wouldn't that be cool? Challenge yourself. You see a merit badge like journalism. You say, I don't want to be a journalist. Well, maybe you should take it anyway. You might learn something. I always figure merit badges are going to do a couple possible things. You might say, well, that was cool. That was a good set of skills. I'm glad I know that. And that's it. Sometimes you might do a thing and be like, wow, that was horrible. I don't ever want to do that again. Sometimes you might look at something and say, wow, that was amazing. I want to do this for the rest of my life. I want to do search and rescue. I want to be a professional journalist. I don't ever want to snow ski again. Okay. Either way, you've still learned something. If you say, I don't ever want to do that again, then that time was very valuable to you. Okay, because you learned something major. So don't get discouraged by these. Say good. I didn't like that. Good. I learned something I don't like, and I don't have to do it ever again, maybe. Work on your advancement all the time. Okay. Don't wait. Some people wait until they're almost 18 years old before they really get cracking on Eagle, and then they don't get it and they regret it forever. I would recommend you not do that. Some people go through it super duper fast and maybe don't really learn anything. And I don't think you should go through it so fast that you don't learn anything. But if you can stay focused and you can get it done, I think about 2.5 years, if I remember correctly, is about as fast as you can get this done from start to eagle. Don't go fast just to go fast. Go fast because you're learning and you're capable and it's getting done. And that's okay. All right. But make sure you're learning. Make sure that you are becoming the Eagle Scout that society expects. And if you don't make Eagle, that's fine. We love you anyway. You're still awesome. You're still going to be a great leader. And you're still going to be a great contributor to scouting. So don't get upset with us. A buddy of mine likes to say that he's life for life. He got two life, and he will always be a life scout. And you know what? He's still awesome. He's still an amazing person. And I'm very fortunate to know him. All right. What else do we have? There's so many cool things. I want to encourage you to keep trying, to keep striving, to do better, and to do more and more amazing things. And for you parents out there who haven't done this before, this is a great opportunity to cultivate the link between hard work and reward in our scouts and in the leaders of our futures. Someday, your kids, who right now are goofy kids, are going to be the president or the CEO or the physician or the surgeon, whatever. There's all kinds of things, and you're going to need them. So help raise them right now. Help raise them right now. And get out there, fill out an adult application, and help your troop succeed. All right. I think that's about all I got for requirements 2A through 2D for the scout rank in Scouting America. Get out there, earn this patch, go to your scoutmaster, tell him or her that you've got it done, and as soon as you get to the end, there's not much more, then you can have a scoutmaster conference and they can sign it off and you are done, because you don't need a board of review for scout like you do tenderfoot. All right, next time we're going to finish up the requirements, or at least a chunk of them, probably 3AB and 4AB, and maybe the rest. We'll see how time goes and get you wrapping up the scout rank. Until then, I'll see you on the trail.